It was in midsummer of that year on a Friday morning about 8:30 when Stoney Richardson called. I knew from the get-go that it was not a social call. There was nothing at all social about him. It had been just under 4 months since I last saw him, since I last saw any faces from the old Black Ops teams, Teams Omega, Delta, and India. It was at Lionel Byrd's funeral. The man who was my boss, mentor, and friend was gone, and my team, Team Zulu, was gone as well. But, as I conveyed previously, in less than 24 hours after their murders, their killers were also dead. By my hand. One of them was my traitorous teammate. And when I was satisfied they were all dead, their employer and congressman merely sneered at me. He bragged of his importance and that he was untouchable. But not to me. Without a second thought, even though he was unarmed, I then placed a bullet in his head, and I still have no remorse about that. It took me a while for the shock of my teammate's tragedy to wane. The shock may be gone, but the bitterness, the anger, the sorrow, and the emptiness still remain. So maybe I'm not over it all. Quite frankly, it killed me inside, killed my will to continue. That's why the day I took justice into my own hands was the day I left government service for good. And it was a couple of days later, following Byrd's funeral, when I turned down the president's offer to assume responsibility as overall team director, even after he practically begged me. The position then went to Richardson, the lead counter-terrorist operative in our Los Angeles team. Me? I took up a new position. Full-time husband and professional piddler. As I stood in the upper bedroom of our historic bed and breakfast, cell phone to my ear and gazing through the window at Adriana's lovely late-blooming camellias, that old familiar shot of adrenaline fired through my arteries. Talking with any of my old cronies from days gone by, days of the Army Special Forces, the FBI, and again, Team Zulu, always tended to recharge my batteries. To my vexation, you see, my lifestyle had quickly become complacent, even dormant, ever since I finally and once and for all succumbed to this life of domestication. Part of that, of course, was because I was still under the enchanting spell of the beautiful Adriana, loving wife, sexual partner, and co-owner of one of West Virginia's premier inns, Wolf Laurel. Having ambushed me back there in 2001 with her stunning beauty, her captivating blitheness, and her sultry southern brogue, she had done much to tame me. But as she had also been after me these years to give up the action game, it ultimately took seeing my team lying in pools of their own blood to finally convince me it was time to get out. It was just the idea that somebody in the game still remembered this fag, former action guy. Whether there was any further use for a washed-up has-been of both the justice system and the Department of State. Even though I had hung up my spurs and promised Adriana that I would forever and amen devote my time to her and the management of the inn, my brain had often flirted with the thought of grabbing just one more gig. One more for the old red, white, and blue. Maybe there was somebody still out there who needed a guy with my knowledge, skills, and abilities. The full package of attributes that few, if any, of my kind had. It's never been about recognition and veneration. No awards and medals and shadow boxes. No certificates of appreciation. And no photos of a young studly man of yesteryear taken with dignitaries gracing the walls of my den, like many of my action buddies did. Because that's not what I'm about. Nor have such accolades ever been important to me. All that junk is buried in an old steamer trunk in my workshop. And then, I got the call from the National Security Chief.